This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. With a call to connect to Earth, the theme for this year's Earth Hour celebration aims to spark conversations on nature and the unique diversity of life we share our home with. And here to share more about how you can get connected to our planet is Dominic Wong. He's the Director of Communications and Marketing at WWF Malaysia. Welcome, Dom. How are you today?
Thank you, Juliet, for having us here and giving us this great opportunity.
My pleasure. So for those unfamiliar, Dom, can you remind us what Earth Hour is all about, how it came to be, you know, what is it?
Well, let me take you to the start. Starting as a symbolic lights out event in Sydney in 2007, WWF's Earth Hour has really grown to become the world's largest grassroots movement for the environment. It's been more successful than we ever imagined, where we inspire individuals, communities, businesses, and organizations in reaching more than 180 countries and territories in 2018. Now, while climate change remains a vital issue for our planet, we believe the spotlight must also focus on accelerating loss of nature and the threats this poses to us all. This accelerating loss of nature was covered in WWF's report called the Living Planet Report, which I will touch on in a moment. Hence, we need to build a movement for nature and have countries aligned to such action. This is similar to the achievement of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. This Earth Hour movement will play a key role. We invite hundreds of millions of supporters to spark conversations on the loss of nature. We need to reach more people than ever, helping them to understand why nature is so vital for our national, regional, and global health. Nature is so important for our well-being and economy. Over the past decade, Earth Hour has helped bring climate action to the top of the agenda. Now, it is the time for us to build on this and create a broader movement for nature itself.
Okay, and I know that this year's theme, or this year's call to action, is Connect to Earth. Could you explain that?
Sure, Juliet. In this day and age, many people, we feel, have actually taken nature for granted. Many are disconnected from nature. For example, we actually see more and more screen time in our daily lives, yeah? But less time to connect with nature itself. So this Earth Hour, WWF is asking people to connect to Earth, encouraging people to share their connections with nature. This encourages others to think about their own connection and find out more about what the loss of nature means to people and what they can do about it. Well, there are many ways people can connect to Earth and then take action. For instance, we can start with getting close to nature, taking a walk in the parks, going to the forest, and visiting natural settings is one way. Some people like to go and see wildlife, and that's very exciting for quite a lot of people. Whatever activity that you do, make sure it allows you to appreciate nature and then take the necessary actions. For example, reducing the use of plastics in our daily lives that seem to find their way into nature, increasing awareness to our children and in schools on habitat destruction and its effect on wildlife, changing the way we consume food and manage waste, which also affects nature. So with this Earth Hour, the focus was to spark open conversations on social media about biodiversity and nature using the hashtag ConnectToEarth.
And I think, you know, besides the sort of things that you mentioned, there are some other suggestions that we can get on how we can all connect, you know, this Earth Hour. I mean, I think the most basic one is to switch off our lights, right? But what are some other ways we can also get involved?
So what could Malaysians do to support Earth Hour? Well, like you said, turning off your lights at 8:30 p.m. on the 30th of March, Saturday, would be the easiest thing to do. Then using social media to start the conversations about biodiversity loss or nature loss using the hashtag ConnectToEarth would be vital. Having said that, do visit the WWF website for more information about our WWF Earth Hour events happening this weekend in Penang and Alostar. Also, if you're organizing your own Earth Hour event, please contact us via the website as well, because we would like to have your videos and photos featured. Earth Hour itself is actually an open source event, Juliet, and anyone can organize their own event. We encourage organizers to use the Earth Hour logo, which can be obtained from our website, or just contact us. Lastly, Earth Hour with WWF wouldn't have been possible with some of the supports from corporations and organizations. So we'd just like to thank Celcom, Samsonite, Salesworks, and SG Global Support Services, including Aman Central Mall, Alostar, and Gurney Paragon Mall, Penang, where the WWF events will be held this weekend. We would like to thank them for having supported us and making our Earth Hour event possible.
So I guess You know, with all of these, and it's been happening for so long, what is the long-term hope or vision for Earth Hour?
Okay, the journey to reverse the loss of nature starts now, and we have a journey ahead to bend the curve on biodiversity loss. If Malaysians had taken a peek into the Living Planet report, where our conservation director, Dr. Henry Chan, came to BFM to discuss before, I'd just like to remind about the fact that we are facing a declining curve tracked since 1970 that shows devastating nature loss. Mm-hmm. In less than 50 years, we've seen an overall decline of 60% in population sizes of vertebrate species that's tracked by this report. So we have an opportunity in the coming 2 years to set a new direction for our society, to create a new deal for nature and people universally, endorsed by political and business leaders, right down to communities and individuals. Mm-hmm. If we get it right, we will create an unstoppable movement for nature, similar to when the world came together to tackle climate change. We will have a tremendous opportunity to influence the future direction of some of the world's most important policy instruments for sustainable development in the year 2020. This includes the Paris Agreement Milestone Reviews, the Sustainable Development Goals Milestone Reviews, and more importantly, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, CBD. Mm-hmm. 2020 is a very important year for the world to come together and continue to move the momentum to reverse this devastating loss of nature. So we need policymakers to reset the agenda so that by 2030, the loss of nature starts to reverse. Lastly, a new deal for nature and people is needed to ignite a new awareness of the commitment towards the moral as well as the economic and social imperatives to conserve nature. We are determined to succeed in this historic opportunity for life on Earth and for us all.
All right. Okay. So I guess there's no action small, too small or too big, you know, for this year's Earth Hour. And if you'd like some ideas, like Dom said, you can go to the website. That's wwf.org.my. And yeah, just get involved. And the least you can do is just switch off your lights for that 1 hour, right? Yes. All right. So in Malaysia, this year's Earth Hour will be focusing on the Ulu Muda Forest Complex and the need for its conservation. So after this quick break, I'll be joined by Siti Zuraida Abidin. She's the Protected Areas Lead for WWF Malaysia, who will tell me more about the importance of the Ulu Muda Forest Complex. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, I spoke to Dominic Wong, the Director of Communications and Marketing at WWF Malaysia, who told us all about Earth Hour 2019 and this year's theme, which is Connect to Earth. And over here in Malaysia, Earth Hour will focus on the Ulu Muda Forest Complex and the need for its conservation. It was World Water Day and International Day of the Forest last week. So in light of these significant days, we are going to discuss the issues regarding freshwater supply and biodiversity loss in Malaysia and highlight the link between forests and our water supply. And joining me to do that is Siti Zuraida Abidin. She is the Protected Areas Lead for WWF Malaysia. Welcome. How are you today?
Thanks, Juliet. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So like I mentioned, you know, this year's Earth Hour for Malaysia specifically focuses on the Ulu Muda Forest Complex and the need for its conservation. Remind us why the Ulu Muda Forest Complex is so important.
Right. So WWF has been working in that landscape since the year 2000. And Ulu Muda is really in the heartland of Kedah. So it's really in the interior. It borders Thailand. And it's a huge area, a total size of 160,000 hectares. Mm-hmm. Sungai Muda and Sungai Kedah, which is the two main rivers in Kedah, its headwaters originate from this river, from this forest. Mm-hmm. And it supplies over 96% of Kedah's water, 80% of Penang's water, and 40% of Perlis water. So aside from its water provisioning services, it's also a biodiversity hotspot where you can find the Asian elephant, the Malayan tapir, and the Malayan sun bear. So another important aspect of this area is that it's one of two sites in Malaysia where you can find the large flocks of the plain pouch hornbills. Mm-hmm. And when I mean large, you know, during the peak of its season, you can count up to 1,000 individuals in one evening.
Amazing.
So yeah, and it draws naturalists and avid bird watchers, both local and foreign. another important aspect to this forest is that the local communities surrounding the forest still depends on the forest. So you still have fishermen in the Muda Lake, as well as the honey hunters who comes in and harvest honey from the Tualang tree and, you know, uses this either for their consumption or to sell it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's a source of income for the local communities
That's
as well.
Right.
And I mean, it is also an important water catchment area. And I know it's the main source of raw water for South Kedah and Penang. Am I correct?
That's right. So as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the treatment plants extract water from Sungai Muda, and Sungai Muda originates from Ulu Muda Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So with Kedah, you know, both Sungai Muda and Sungai Kedah, 96% of its water is coming from these two rivers. And Penang extract 80% of its water from Sungai Muda.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a huge amount of, you know, and that dependence of this two states on this forest for its water.
And that is just our raw water supply,
exactly.
Isn't it? And I mean, we're not even talking about things like agriculture and
yeah.
That's another huge thing that the Ulu Muda Forest provides for as well.
Right. So Kedah is known as the rice bowl of Malaysia,
mm-hmm.
and rightly so, because there's a huge greenery area along its plains. And, you know, it produces up to, you know, about 40% of the rice produced in the country. And so it's really an important element for the country, especially as it moves towards, you know, its food security and having its self-sufficiency in rice. The dams that were developed in the Muda area, in the Ulu Muda Forest, the Pedu, Aning and Muda Dam, were meant to enable double cropping in the greenery area.
Mm-hmm.
As before, they were only, you know, using, basically sourcing it from the rainwater, and they could only plant it once in a year.
Okay.
So with the dams, they are now enabled double cropping.
Okay.
In the greenery area.
But I think, you know, we just heard, you know, Water, Land and Natural Resource Minister Dr. Xavier Chiakuma announcing that there are several states, you know, expecting to face a water shortage, you know, what with our hot weather and there's a lack of rainfall. And one of the three dams which now have a storage capacity of only around 50% is the Muda Dam. I mean, what are the effects of something like this?
Mm. So I think the most immediate one would be water rationing that's happening on the north. I've been reading that there are tankers all over Peninsula Malaysia, you know, contributing, you know, to manage this issue.
Right.
But again, those things are very short term. So what we are looking for is more long term. And that means ensuring that our catchment forest remains intact so that it's resilient enough to be able to continue providing the services. And a more holistic management of water supply in the country is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, just going on that note, what are some of the threats that this area is facing mostly?
Mm. So the two major things would be logging and forest conversion. So this could be conversion for, you know, various things. But in Ulu Muda specifically, I think logging is one of the major threats.
Right.
And affects how the forest function as a water catchment. So it could mean that, you know, the water quality and water quantity is affected, and which leads to, say, murkier water. And it would also mean increased costs in treating the water.
Right. Because there is an issue of soil runoff, I think,
an
issue in water catchment areas.
Right. So when there's earthworks, when the soil is, you know, disrupted in any way and rain, and so it kind of just, you know, take along all the soil particles into the rivers and the lake. And another factor is that it shortens the lifespan of the dam. So because of the siltation.
Right.
Right.
So should the clean water supply at Ulu Muda become insufficient, are there alternative water supplies to the current dependent areas?
I think in Penang, they're looking at getting water from Perak,
okay.
as well as, I think, exploring desalination.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, those incur costs.
Okay.
I think in Kedah itself, they're looking at, you know, further infrastructure development. So that would mean more dams.
Mm.
And I think what they're planning to do is during times when water is abundant, they would want to, you know, channel it to a dam and store it. So they could then use it during, you know, drier periods. it's like now.
Of course, the easiest thing would be to protect what we already have, right?
Exactly.
Rather than come up with all these solutions.
Yeah,
to...
so even with all those infrastructure, if you don't have the forest that can absorb and retain those water, it's quite useless to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I think another a problem with logging as well is flooding, isn't it? I mean, if we don't have that water retainment from our trees, I mean, that can also cause flooding when we have our rainy seasons as well.
That's true. So if your ecosystem is not intact, you have, you know, severe droughts event or severe flooding events.
There's no winning in this. I mean, the winning is to keep everything intact. But I mean, last year, the Kedah State Government did announce a stop to all logging activities in Ulu Muda. You know, I mean, that was a wonderful decision, right? So are things looking up, would you think?
Right. So the logging ban came into effect for the Ulu Muda Forest Reserve, which is part of the Ulu Muda Forest Complex that, you know, that WWF refers to. You know, the forest complex is a bigger forest area, which is about 160,000 hectares. Ulu Muda Forest Reserve is obviously, quite substantial because it meets up about 100,000 hectares. Mm-hmm. And so on the ground, logging has stopped. But I think what we do know is that it will take a while before things go back to the natural, natural processes and whatnot. But I think that's a really good move by the state government. And it seems that they are really committed towards ensuring the protection of the forest.
Mm-hmm. And I think, one of the fights always when it came to these sorts of state matters is the fight between federal government, state government. But there are so many different stakeholders involved, you know, in protecting an area like this. I mean, what are your hopes for all these different stakeholders? Because we're talking industry, we're talking, local residents, for example. Mm-hmm. How can everybody kind of work together to come up to some sort of viable solution?
Right. So I think that's the really big question.
Yeah.
And I think we're also struggling and trying to see how we can come together. But the main thing is this: all the beneficiaries, all the different states, the industry players, the farmers. You know, that includes the Ministry of Agriculture, I would say, because it talks about food security, as well as people living in the adjacent forests. Is that we have to come together and talk about this in a very real and realistic manner. It's not just about Kedah having to protect this area. So we all need to make a collective action that can help Kedah to protect this area. Mm-hmm. Because likely or not, Kedah is the second, one of the poorest state in Peninsular Malaysia. Mm. And they do need, the revenue sources from the forest. So now, how do we deal with this? You know, so that's the big question. And everybody has to come together and kind of just be a bit more open-minded and a bit more open to the idea of needing to play their part in a very real way to protect the forest.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, as you mentioned, you've been working on this for years now, since 2000, am I correct?
Right, that's right.
So we're almost 20 years, right? And what are your hopes? What are some of the concrete actions or some of the plans that WWF in particular have in store to work towards this?
Right. I think if I've, at some point, at any point, if the state government declares the area as protected, that's really going to be a big win. Mm-hmm. So protected, what I mean is legally protected through gazettement, a state park, a water catchment forest, accorded with the sort of legal protection so that it's not easily converted or there's any changes to the area. But, there are a lot of steps along the way. So we're looking at different approaches to this. So one of it is water stewardship. So it's basically working together with the businesses, with the communities and the government within a specific river basin. So in this case, it would be Sungai Muda, the Sungai Muda Basin, and try to raise awareness about the threats that they're facing in terms of the water supply within this basin and see how collectively we can take action to mitigate those threats. Another way that we're looking at is sustainable landscape and approach. So we can no longer keep it just to the forest. We have to really open up the landscape so that we can tap into the beneficiaries that are downstream. And this means that, working together with them to look at best practices in terms of planning, in terms of decision making, so that we can still enjoy and have our economic growth. but the ecosystem is still intact and we can still enjoy the services that this ecosystem provides.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine a lot of that has to do with the policy as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And are you seeing, you know, any sort of, I suppose, improvement in those areas, you know, more open discussions between federal, state government, the NGOs, all the different stakeholders?
I think recently Ulu Muda has been getting a lot of traction.
A lot of traction, yeah. which is great. Which is good.
Which is good. You know, people do need to talk about this because there's not many people who know about this area. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, we have to kind of find ourselves, you know, towards the same goal, which is the protection of the area. And it might mean that we have to, you know, be willing to contribute and really play our part. I think in terms of the state government, we're working with them quite closely. For example, we have an upcoming event. It's, you know, it's strongly supported by YB Zamri Yusuf, who is the Exco of Water Supply and Water Resources, as well as working with the Kedah Water Resource Board.
Okay.
So it's basically an event where we have the water heroes, the participant, to follow us along this journey of Sungai Muda, mm-hmm. so from upstream to downstream, to kind of just see all the relevant people that are interlinked within this river basin, mm-hmm. And really, you know, hitting home the message that water doesn't come from the tap, and linking it to the forest. The forest is really where the water comes from, yeah. And so that's happening next month. So we're hoping that, you know, it's a closed event, but we're having a lot of social media posts. So we're hoping to bring, you know, a wider pool of people along their journey as well, and maybe even, you know, inspire people to go along their own journey and see where their water is coming from.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that what you said is exactly true. People imagine the water comes from the tap. They don't quite think of what the source is, right?
That's right. And
until it's cut off, then only they start to.
Yeah.
So there's another event also. I mean, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there is also the Earth Hour 2019, and it's going to be happening. WWF celebration is going to be happening up north. Tell me what's happening there.
Right. So I think there's going to be two events. One is in Penang, which is in Gurney Paragon Mall, and another one is in Amman Central. I think there's going to be exhibition booth as well. So the protected area team, my team, is going to be in Amman Central.
Okay.
So feel free to drop by, anybody up north, and come and see me and talk to me and the team and see what we're doing in Ulu Muda. And there's also another team in Penang. So do head up there as well to find out more. That's happening on March 30th. Also, visit the website for more information, and if you want to join in some of the activities organized during those days.
Okay, all right. So again, I guess the website to head to for more information is wwf.org.my. Any last message you'd like to leave us with?
I would say to go and visit Ulu Muda.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, you might think it's far. It's not that far. And it's doable, really, because in my course of work, I've bring in different people to go into the Ulu Muda forest. So they are journalists for our media trips. They are, you know, our funders, our stakeholder, you know, just about anybody. And whenever they have a reservation, right, they go in. They just marvel at the forest, and almost everybody, in spite of themselves, falls in love with the forest, really. and they once they get over the leech and then whatnot, because you know, we live in a very, you know, dense you know, city, right?
Yeah.
So when you go there, you'll probably be the group of people there. Really, you might come across the local community, but you know, the forest is yours, really. And to be able to kind of experience that really takes you on another level of being connected to nature.
Which is exactly what we want to do at this Earth Hour, to connect to Earth. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I've been
speaking to Siti Zuraida Abidin. She's the Protected Areas Lead for WWF Malaysia. And we were discussing, well, Earth Hour 2019 with the call to connect to Earth, and also why this year Earth Hour for Malaysia is focusing on the Ulu Muda Forest Complex. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and on Spotify. And again, if you'd like to find out more information about WWF Malaysia, do head to wwf.org.my. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.